Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's Easter meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 9 to 14. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. So far, some text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, the resurrected and ever living Lord, whom we praise and honor for our salvation, dear fellow redeemed. This morning we're bringing our Lenten Sunday morning study of the revelation of our triumphant Savior to an end. And what an end. As we read in our text this morning, it's a picture of heaven filled with angels and believers. And there in the midst of the 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, sitting on a throne, is a lamb. A lamb who had been slain and is alive again. Of course, a symbolical picture of a crucified and resurrected Lord and Savior. But for what reason had they all gathered together? And why is a lamb there on the throne? The Lamb had come to do something no one else could do. To take the scroll and open the seals of that scroll, which revealed the future of mankind. In the verses just prior to our sermon text, we read, "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne," which is the Father, "a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I," meaning John, "wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seals.' And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne." Only Jesus, of all of creation, was worthy to take and unseal that scroll. It's another symbolical picture to show that the future of this world and our lives is in Christ's hands, is under his control. He is at the right hand of God right now, ruling all things in heaven and on earth. Now, when the Lamb had taken that scroll, we were told the 24 elders, representing all the believers in heaven, broke unto a new song of praise, a song of praise to the Lamb, the victorious Lamb. Now, in chapter 4, the chapter just before our sermon text, these same elders and angels had sung a praise to God as well. They sung a praise of creation to God. In verse 11, chapter 4, we read, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." But now they're singing a song, not a song of praise for creation, but a song of praise for salvation, the salvation of mankind. It's a new song of praise directed toward the Lamb. This song is actually two songs in one followed by another. The first one praises Jesus for his work of redemption. The second praises him for his exaltation. We read again the first song. "And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Now, admittedly, one would think that one wouldn't picture a lamb as a type of animal to symbolize a powerful and great victor. Lamb's meek, mild, not ferocious, not even able to defend himself. But a lamb-like Savior was the only one who was not only able to reveal the history of the world by making open those seals, but also able to accomplish our future so that our future is blessed. A lamb-like Savior is the only one who could sacrifice himself as the slaughter of the lamb without blemish or spot. The perfect Lamb of God who was sacrificed for the sins of the whole world, thereby gaining us victory over sin, death, the devil. This Jesus, the Lamb of God, did for you and for me. And because of his work of redemption, heaven is filled with a song of praise. Well, can you imagine what it was sounding like? I'm sure a choir sounded well this morning and you're singing together. But imagine what heaven sounds like. Angels singing praises. The souls singing praises to the Lord. The Lamb of God who was slain and now arisen again. That Lamb who on Good Friday died and was placed into the grave is alive again. So man's greatest enemies, death and hell, have been destroyed. Jesus alone is worthy to take that scroll and open the seals. He alone is worthy to take that scroll because he is the only one who has redeemed mankind. The whole world brought us all back to God from every tribe and tongue and nation. All around the world, we've been redeemed for God. How did Luther put it in his meaning to the second article of the Apostles' Creed? "He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent sufferings and death." And because of this redemption, this is the second time now we've heard in Revelation, he has made us to be kings with him. We are now ruling with Christ here on this earth. We as believers rule with Christ every day. Whenever and wherever the gospel message is preached, wherever and whenever forgiveness of sins is given in Jesus' name, wherever and whenever a person is brought to faith, an unbeliever is brought to faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, there we Christians are reigning with Christ. Now, we mentioned this last Sunday in our Palm Sunday worship. The world doesn't see that. The world sees Christians as most often being the losers. They don't see us. It's only through eyes of faith we can see that we rule with Christ. Because when we look into the world, we see mankind, what do we see? We see simple acts, murder, immorality, pornography, greed, rape, robbery, oppression, violence, gossip, lies, slander. It appears that Satan's in control. Satan rules our lives and history. And none of us can escape the grip of death. And many of those sins, we have to ashamedly say, we're guilty of too. But it is only through faith in Jesus Christ that we see that we indeed rule with Christ Jesus. for as God's forgiven children, as his redeemed, blood-bought saints, we rule with him in his kingdom here on this earth through the power of the gospel and perfectly forever in our heavenly home. Luther caught that truth again in that second article where he said in his meaning, he did this, his death and resurrection, that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in an eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy, just as he is risen from death, lives and reigns in eternity. And our sermon text says that not only are we kings, we also serve as priests before God. Remember in the Old Testament, the children of Israel could not bring an offering or a sacrifice without an intermediary, a priest who had a sacrifice for them. Well, as many of you know, when Jesus died on the cross on Good Friday, that 4-inch thick curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies was torn from top to bottom, right in half, to signify that now the high priest has come to be the intermediary for us, so that now we have open access to our Heavenly Father. We don't need priests of the Old Testament anymore. We are all priests with God. You can announce forgiveness of sins to each other, even as I do it publicly here in this congregation. We as a congregation proclaim forgiveness of sins to someone in our congregation who has fallen to a public sin and publicly repents of his sins. Each of us can forgive each other as we sinned against one another. We have that power, which is called the power of the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We've been given the authority and the might and the right to unlock the door of heaven, to open that door, to repent sinners and say, your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. I forgive you your sins in Jesus' name. Heaven is yours. Wow. Kings and priests with God. John suddenly looked up, and now he sees hundreds of thousands of angels surrounding the throne upon which a lamb has been seated. And they break forth into a second song of praise to the exalted Christ. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. After his resurrection, Jesus declared, All power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And at his ascension to heaven, Jesus took full possession of all things, having successfully completed his mission of salvation for us on this earth. And so we are gathered here this morning to praise, honor, and glorify our resurrected Savior, to join in the singing of a song of praise, this new song of praise, to the victorious Lamb of God, for the Lord who we saw die, taken down the cross and laid in the tomb last Good Friday, is risen. That seemingly helpless-looking Savior hanging on the cross is now the victorious, conquering Savior who rules all things for our eternal welfare. Christ's resurrection is no fantasy. Christ rising from the dead is no make-believe story. It is no mere dream. It's an historic reality. The promise of our resurrection from the grave rests on the surety of Christ's resurrection from the grave. We will rise from our graves just as surely as Christ rose from his grave almost 2,000 years ago. That's not a fairy tale. As one man wrote, now our graves have two doors, one marked entrance and the other exit. We are Easter victors. Thank God that we have this new song to sing. a new song of praise to the Savior who did rise, who did die and suffer on the cross to pay for the sins of the whole world. Give us forgiveness, life, and salvation. A new song of praise to the Savior who did rise from the dead and rules forevermore. A song of praise to the Savior who makes us kings and priests together with Him here on this earth and forever in heaven. A new song of praise which will never grow old, which will never die out, and which will never cease being sung. For even as we sing our praises today, so shall we ever sing them throughout all eternity with all the angels and all the believers in our heavenly home to the Lamb who is slain and is alive again. Blessing, honor, glory, power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.